We want to talk about prayer and the direction of the mind. I was reading that in an eastern county of England called Essex, S, the eastern section, something like that, Essex.
East Saxon.
In 1550, a group of believers gathered to discuss the ordering of worship in their church. The main point they discussed was the matter of ordering of worship. The main point they were discussing is prayer. They asked if the one praying should stand so that everybody could see him and hear, or kneel, bowing before the Lord, to have his head covered or uncovered. In the end, they decided that far more important than the outward position was the direction of the mind. That's good thinking, isn't it? So, three things tonight. One, realize the presence of God. As you go to prayer, realize not just the possibility, but the actuality, the presence of God. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Spiritually, we're there. Spiritually, we're right there. We are within grasp of the very hand of God. We are within view of the face of God, not by our physical eyes, but spiritually. Notice that Jesus spoke to God alone on a mountain. It pictures speaking face to face. When you think about prayer meaning asking, listen to Luke 6:12. "And it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Just talking to God. The two alone on the mountain. Jeremy Taylor said, "Place thyself in God's presence and behold him with the eye of faith. And let thy desires actually fix on him as the object of thy worship and the reason of thy hope and the fountain of thy blessing." He said, use your sanctified imagination. You don't have to picture him as looking like this thing or that thing. Take one of Ezekiel's things, being of fire, glowing and shining. John's vision of the resurrected Christ in Revelation 1, again, shining and glorifying. Brother Lawrence wrote, "Sometimes I consider myself there as a stone before a carver, whereof he is to make a statue. Presenting myself before God, I desire him to form his perfect image in my soul and make me entirely like himself." Mold me. So take a moment as you go to prayer to recognize who you're talking to. We sometimes in church pray aloud with more of a recognition that we're praying for others to hear us than we are for God to hear us. I don't know that there's any way around that, because if we forgot that others were listening, we'd start mumbling and nobody would hear what we were saying. And leading in prayer means that you have to actually say it loud enough to lead. But the whole point of this is talking to him. So the direction of your mind, realize the presence of God. The second thing is this. Realize you must be absolutely honest. This is unlike any other conversation you have with anybody. There's a mask that we wear with most people. We present ourselves as someone to them. We don't let it all hang out type of thing. Probably a good thing, actually. But with God, we don't have any choice. Remember how often the psalmist spelled out his frustration to God? God wants us to be perfectly frank with him. Notice this verse in Isaiah 41:22. He says, "Produce your cause." The Hebrew cause to come near, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. He says, reason with me, talk with me, argue with me here a bit. Remember, I'm the boss, but let me hear what your problem is, what your cause is. Never imagine you can hide your lack of faith or deceive God about your sin. Just don't even go there. Don't pretend that you can be some super person before God. You must deal with him in absolute honesty or else be self-deceived. You're only fooling yourself. Listen to these verses. Genesis 6:5. The time before the flood. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. The King James margin tells us, or the whole imagination. And then they say the Hebrew word signifieth not only the imagination, but also the purposes and desires. It says that God saw every imagination was only evil continually, was only evil every day. Every thought was open to him, and they weren't talking to him. They were being evil. 1 Chronicles 28:9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Heart and mind? Yes. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. He's making himself available. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Psalm 139:23. In prayer, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, that is, put me to the test, and know my thoughts. That's where you are taking the lead in this. You're not just catching up with the idea that he knows your thoughts. You come boldly saying, I can't hide from you. Please know it. Even reveal to me my thoughts. And then finally, the direction of your mind, come in faith, trusting, believing. Two things. Accept that no miracle is impossible. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said unto them, they were asking why their prayer wasn't answered. Because of your unbelief. For verily, truly, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. This in the very context of prayer. Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. 18:27, he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We come to this place in our little world where we say, I'm facing this huge problem. And I don't know if God can handle it. Don't really know much about God. Yeah, but these other people have to be affected. The very heart of the king is in the hand of God, the Bible tells us. He can turn it whichever way he wants. God can restrain wrath, can hold back the advance of evil. He can just do this. Nothing is impossible. So come. I sometimes, before I ask what seems to be an impossible request, I go back in my mind and think of all the impossible things that he's already answered me before. And sometimes I borrow from others, impossible things that I've heard people tell me that he answered in prayer. So I convince myself, I get my mind in the right direction. And then secondly, accept that God is your Father. This is who you're talking to, see. Recognize His love. Why did He set it up so that within creation there'd be father and children? So that we would understand it when He said, I want you to call me Father. The Father's love. Secondly, recognize His authority. My father was the most gentle of men, the kindest, most merciful of people. But I did not want to challenge His authority. I saw him a couple of times get angry with people outside the home. And it was a fearsome anger. Recognize His authority. What He says goes. And thirdly, recognize His acceptance. See, here's the thing. Cain and Abel offered their sacrifices. And the Bible tells us, and people don't want to actually let it say what it says, but He says, He had respect to Abel and his sacrifice. He did not have respect to Cain and his sacrifice. The problem wasn't the sacrifice. The problem was the person doing the sacrificing. So God is to tell us later that He doesn't accept the sacrifice of the wicked. But you go to God in prayer as a child of God, already accepted. You are accepted. See, whatever you ask, the kind Father is going to sort it out and do the best thing for you. But you are accepted. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 4 tells us about going to God in prayer. Verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's not the high priest we have, but we do have one. We have a high priest who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have a high priest, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's been through everything you've been through. He's suffered with everything. Family problems? Oh, yeah. There was a time when mother and brothers came to take Him home because He was crazy. Let us therefore, since we're talking to one who's already been through what we've been through, let us therefore come boldly. This is, word boldly translates two words, with and the word that means boldly or unreservedness in speech. Not hesitating. Not mincing words, you see. Showing respect, showing reverence. But not holding back. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. And what will be the result? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember that mercy is God not doing to us what we deserve. Sometimes we come asking for mercy. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. And most of the time we need grace. Grace to help in time of need. Three things for the direction of your mind. Realize the presence of God. Realize that you must be absolutely honest with yourself. First, and then come in faith. Nothing is impossible, and you're already accepted as the Son of God. Comments, questions? Yes?
When the Father said, where I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Yes, yeah. There's that absolute honesty, isn't it? And what was the final result?
He
his child was healed. So he took that into consideration.